take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 6. Luke, chapter 6, we'll read verses 26 through 31 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Luke, chapter 6, verses 26 through 31. Luke chapter 6, verses 26 through 31. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that sinneth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also them likewise. And let's pray. Father, thank you for our church. Lord, thank you that we have such a place, that you thought of it before the world was ever created. You decided that it would be best for us to gather as Christians, as family, as friends, and with you as our Father. Thank you for the gift of a preacher and a man of God that you've given us here. Father, please fill him with your power as he preaches, but also would you fill us with your power as he preaches, so that we could receive the truth as you've given it to him, so that we could do more for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I want to say, first of all, if you're a guest today, the sermon will be rather pointed, and no more pointed than sermons have been through history, but it will be rather pointed. To those of you who believe in the old-time religion, you will feel at home with what I say. Not always is it necessarily that we like what is said, but we know it is true, and therefore we support that which is true, even when it makes us uncomfortable. I have to tell you, and I want to say, I can't be everything that everybody wants me to be. If I passed out a piece of paper today and said, everybody here, you write down on there what you want your pastor to be, and we turned them all in, and I tried to be everything that everybody wants me to be, you would be amazed at what kind of freak I would turn out to be. Therefore, I have deemed it necessary not to be what you want me to be, but I will be, to the best of my knowledge, what God wants me to be. I will have to be God's man, not yours. I can't make everybody happy about everything all the time. Neither can these assistant pastors, the other men of God that work on this staff. I can't love everything that you want me to love. Matter of fact, there are some things that people would like for me to love that I insist I will not love. I can't be Mr. Popular with everybody all the time. Some people, though, that's what they want. I'll show you what some people want. Men, let's all leave the platform and we'll re-enter. You all hang on for a second. We're coming back. That's just about what everybody wants. You guys can have a seat, you girls too. The only problem is that's not how God wanted it to be. God didn't intend for a man to come in a dress and stand in front of the people and give them what they want to hear. Never was his plan. You know, I love true men of God. I thank my God for my preacher friends that I've been associated with through the years. The Bible says, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." God said, if everybody's just talking good about you, watch out. That's traditional for the false prophets. I dare not touch God's anointed. I'm very careful. The Bible says in Psalm 105, verse 15, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. But not every so-called preacher is God's anointed. There's a difference. Just because somebody carries the title preacher or pastor or reverend, that does not make them God's anointed. Our text tells us that when everybody likes or speaks well of you, there's something wrong. May I say, especially if it's someone that is supposed to specialize in God's truth, which is a man of God. You know, there are some preachers who are trying to win a popularity contest. I don't want my name on the ballot. I'm not trying to win a popularity contest. They're the dirtiest group of thieves this side of hell are preachers who will not preach salvation as God teaches it. Some preacher that gets up and preaches anything other than salvation by grace through faith is going to send people to hell right and left. That's a dirty, rotten, low-down, rotten way to earn a living, if you will. God had mercy on a preacher that would deny the inspiration of the Holy Scripture of God. Preachers who preach to please people instead of preaching, thus saith the Lord. I believe they've sold their soul. You say, well, preacher, I wish you were more like John the Beloved. Do you realize that John the Beloved was exiled to the Isle of Patmos and boiled in oil for his stand? And you, now I see why you want me to be like him. Well, Brother Owens, God just wished that you were more like David. Oh, David, the psalmist. You have any idea how often people tried to kill him? I mean, the man was running for his life all the time. He said, I wish you were like Moses. He got kicked out of the country. He said, I wish you were like Daniel in the lion's den. He said, well, I wish you were like Jesus. They crucified him. He said, if you were like Peter, the first pope. Okay, just make sure that you stay with us in the service here and you don't interrupt it. Peter, the first pope, which he, of course, was not. Well, I wish you were like him. Do you know that he lived for God in such a way that they crucified him, but they did it upside down? Huh? Hell will be hot for those preachers that were lost and misled congregations and flocks. You know, the devil has his devil called preachers. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 says, for such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, I believe this. I believe that Hollywood is no friend to Christianity. But I just want you to understand something. I do not blame Hollywood for our country's nasty condition as much as I blame compromising, ear-tickling, back-scratching, cowardly preachers. They're in pulpits all around the nation today. They're scared to death to stand up and tell the truth. They're afraid somebody will cut their salary. They're afraid their pension will be cut. They're afraid somebody that gives money to the church will take their membership and move it up the road. I've got news for you. I don't plan to preach to make you happy. I plan to preach to make God happy. Hey, it's not pleasant to be unpopular. No one, not even preachers, enjoy being shunned. But Jesus, he faced it. He was shunned. He was not accepted. He was not as popular as what some might think. If Jesus Christ came today and he preached, there'd be people so irate with him, they would crucify him again. They would. They would. Jesus set an example for us all. He said, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." I'll tell you something, it's going to cost you something if you're going to do right, especially preachers. Too many preachers fit into this modern era. I'm not a modernist. You say, "Well, you're as old-fashioned as Grandma's rocking chair." Well, I thank you. I consider that a compliment. Have you ever stopped to think about preachers mentioned in the Bible and their lack of popularity? These preachers in the Bible were what we call the firebrands of their day. They were disliked and disdained by people and other preachers. Many years have passed since these preachers walked the earth, but human nature has not changed. You know, there are sometimes we get to looking at what we would call the heroes of the faith and the people that you and I look to, but we forget these were not liked people. Some of the people, you know, earlier, I mentioned John the Beloved, the one that rested upon the breast of Jesus, the one that called himself, the disciple whom Jesus loved. They banned him to Patmos. They boiled him in oil. And it's not because he was lovey-dovey 24-7. There come a day when John stood up and said, "Thus saith the Lord." And they said, "You shut up." And he said, "I won't be shut up. I'll tell the truth." And they said, "We'll kill you." He said, "Hey, John, the Beloved." That doesn't mean he was a wimp. That doesn't mean that he was a sissy, twerpy preacher. And he was known for his love and his passion for God. And if you love God and you have passion for God, you love his truth and you stand for it no matter what it costs you. Hey, in every age, though, I think there are true blue, God-chosen, anointed preachers that carry and deliver his truth without apology. Let's look at some, though, of those who were unloved and unpopular back in the days where you know, those that we look to historically as our heroes from the Bible. You see, we'll look at some scripture, and we'll look at some preachers that were not loved. Now, don't think for a moment that your heroes of the Bible were the most popular people of their day. They were not. In most cases, they were the most unpopular of their day. For instance, how about the man named Enoch? I'll call him unloved Enoch. From what I can tell, the Lord was the only one who would walk with Enoch or even be caught in his presence. Genesis 5:24 says, "And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him." Enoch was unloved because he preached the truth. And you say, what truth did Enoch preach? He preached the truth of the second coming. But let me explain something to you. We often hear about Enoch. Enoch was translated. He was taken off this earth before death. We know that Enoch was translated because he walked with God. We get the idea that all Enoch did was walk with God, and that's all he went through. I believe that Enoch was probably translated, and he walked with God, and nobody else really wanted him around. You say, why? He preached the truth of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Jude, the New Testament, quotes the scripture or the teaching that Enoch was proven to use in the Old Testament. It says in Jude verse 14 and 15, "And he also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all their ungodly among them, all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Enoch here is talking about the second coming of Christ, him coming with 10,000 angels and executing judgment upon the people at when the rapture comes. Now listen, to God-fearing, righteous-living, saved people, the second coming of Jesus Christ is a reprieve. We're looking forward to Jesus coming again. But let me say this truth, for the unsaved, they don't like it. For the liberal, they don't like it. You say, why? Because the Bible teaches if Jesus comes back, if you've heard the gospel and Jesus Christ comes back and you've not been saved, you're in for a lot of trouble. Preachers don't want to preach it. They don't want to discomfort the congregation. They want everybody to come into the church happy and leave the church happy. Now, I'd like us to leave happy, but not because somebody soothed our conscience, but because we heard the truth. the truth that lost people, listen, if Jesus comes again and you are not born again and you have rejected Christ and you have not received Christ, you may die and go to hell as a result of it. You say, I don't like that. I know. That's why Enoch was not a loved man. Do you understand that when somebody preaches the second coming, that basically that's putting pressure on every one of you that are born again? Did you know that Jesus may come today? Did you know that if Jesus came today and your life is a mess and you're backslidden and crooked as a dog's back leg, if you've been living in sin, if you've got things hidden at your house and you've been doing wrong, Jesus may show up this very day and you're going to be surprised and you're going to say, I didn't know he was coming. I would have cleaned house had I known he was coming. The preaching of the second coming puts pressure on born-again Christians, and they don't like it. I don't believe Enoch was a popular preacher. The second coming scares people, so preachers don't want to preach on the truth. Is it possible that Enoch was translated because he was forced to walk alone with God and nobody wanted to be around him? Folks, let me tell you something. Jesus is coming again. And if you're lost, if you're not saved and Jesus comes again, you'll be left behind, doomed and destined to go to hell someday. You say, I don't like it. I don't like it either, but I'm going to tell you, it's the truth. And if you're saved, you better make sure that you are ready for his coming. You better make sure you say, when's he coming, preacher? He may come today. And you better make sure that your life is cleaned up, the hatred, the animosity, and the revenge is out of your heart, the things that you've hidden in your bedroom, teenager, you better get rid of it today, because Jesus may come today, and he may catch you living in your filthy, rotten sin. Now you get up and you preach like that, and you're not popular. Enoch was a man that was unloved, and Enoch preached the second coming of Jesus Christ. He preached it to the saved, and he preached it to the lost. How to make you unpopular. There's another unloved preacher of the Bible. Secondly, unloved Noah. See, Noah was just not, he wasn't just this nice, gray-haired old ark builder. We just see Noah as this fluffy old man that swung a hammer and built an ark. We just love everybody and everything, and I'm building an ark. They hated him. They hated the man. But you know what? If I get up and preach like Noah preached, people go, they bristle. You wouldn't have got on the ark either. You wouldn't have liked it. You said, I don't want to be in the presence of that man. Wow. Hey, I'm just sure that Noah was not invited to speak at any of the pastor's fellowships of his day. You didn't see Noah down at the ecumenical sunrise service. They thought Noah had a screw loose. He was a preacher of righteousness. Now, our world has deteriorated pretty bad to this day. Don't you stop and think about something. How bad was it in his day? Was there TV? No. Was there Hollywood? No. Was there all the pornography filth on the internet? No. I can't imagine what Noah preached on that made people so mad back then. You can preach on things that are obviously filth from the slime part of the world today and people get mad. What did he preach on? You see, they thought Noah had a screw loose. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2:5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world and of the ungodly. You know, he preached it. He. The Bible says he preached righteousness. Didn't mean that he gave speeches. He preached. He preached it. Now, you may picture Noah as being this old, dried-up, gray-haired, stoop-shouldered man that just walked around with a hammer in his hands all the time. But the Bible says Noah preached. That means Noah got with it. That means Noah stood up and he said, unrighteousness is going to be judged, and God is going to bring a flood, and you are going to drown if you don't get right with God. There were people who said, I don't like the guy. They didn't like him so much that when the flood came, every one of them missed the boat. Noah stood with and for God, and the Bible says found God's favor because of it. Genesis 6:8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, something I see no other person anywhere on the face of the earth during Noah's era that is mentioned for doing anything good. Only Noah. If Noah would be a preacher in our day, he'd be called a fanatic. He preached the truth of living right, and everyone but his family rejected it. You all understand it, right? Every human being on the face of the earth said that nutty, crazy, hard-nosed preacher right there, he's nuts. And every one of them drowned to death. And Noah and his family, I didn't make that up. Even if you're the most liberal Christian in this whole place, you tell me who got on the boat. They all rejected that preacher. Every one of them, the whole world, said, you are nuts. And he wasn't a mamby-pamby-tail between your legs, weeny, sissified preacher. He had to stand against the whole world. A preacher of righteousness. I see the words used here. Noah used the words ungodly in his preaching. You got to thinking about that. You see the words ungodly three times in the passage of Scripture. He went around saying, you're ungodly. You're living ungodly. Your sin's ungodly. Oh, good night in the morning. That's tough. That's Noah. They probably labeled him mean-spirited. Noah preached against the immorality of his day. You check it. Yeah. Noah preached you ought not be shacking up like a couple of alley dogs. You ought to get married. Yeah. Noah preached against the fornication of the day and the nudity of the day. Noah, hey, I don't even know who was telling people you stay off the beach in your underwear. Yeah. Yeah. How is it right to go to the beach in something that you call underwear the rest of the week? You say, well, I'm not coming back. They didn't get on the boat. I hope they could swim the beach that they were stuck with.
Yeah.
Unloved. Enoch, an unloved preacher. Noah, an unloved preacher. Take Joseph. You say, oh, I really like him. He had a coat of many colors. He sure did. But that's not the only thing you better hear about Joseph. The Old Testament character called Joseph was not a well-loved person. He was just liked by his own family. Do you realize they considered killing him? Do you realize that they bound him, shipped him out of the country as a slave? They sold Joseph into slavery. I wonder what truth got Joseph into such trouble. Genesis 37, verse number 2, the Bible says, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flocks when his brethren and a lad was with the sons of Belial and with the sons of Zipporah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. You know what? He reported the evil doings of his brethren. Joseph reported the evil doings of his brethren. And he was rejected by his brothers. He was rejected by people. Why? He said, I'm not going to associate with that right there. It's wrong. Joseph went to Daddy and said, Daddy, they are doing wrong. They are behaving evil. And they said, we'll get you for that. Joseph was not the type who would fellowship with the modernists of our day. Joseph believed and would have preached 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Through 17, where it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And that's not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Joseph was not a coward. Joseph stood against the evil of his brethren. As a result of it, they said, we're going to kill you. So he said, don't kill him. We'll sell him. They threw him in a pit. They bound him, sold him as a slave. He went into slavery. Why? Because he said, I will not stand for the evil of my brethren. Joseph would have believed and preached Ephesians 5:11, where it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Joseph would have believed and preached 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 4, where it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heed to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Joseph didn't unite with the modernists. He separated. Joseph did not delude his stand for God, all in the name of brotherly love. Now, let me tell you something. I love people. I love people. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you're wrong. But let me make something very clear. I love that book, and I love my God. And I must express my love and my loyalty to my God first. Joseph chose to fight for God rather than fellowship with the liberals. It cost him greatly. Some preachers even pay the very same price in their churches today by standing up against hypocritical members that do wrong. Joseph was not just a cute kid that had a coat of many colors. He took a stand, and people hated him for it. See, there is an unloved Enoch who had to walk alone because he preached the second coming. There's an unloved Noah who had to walk alone because he was a preacher of righteousness and he was unloved. There's an unloved Joseph who stood against the evil brethren of his day and it cost him. There's an unloved Moses. This week we had our Bible school, our kids' crusade. We find out about the story of Moses. Many wanted Moses dead. The truth for which he stood was, he said, let my people go. God's people are in captivity. And Moses went to the captor and to Pharaoh and said, you have God's people in captivity. Now you let my people go. It says in Exodus chapter 5, verse number 1, and afterwards Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Moses was saying, God sent me to tell you, Pharaoh, you better let us go so we can go serve our God. The people of Moses' day were in captivity to Pharaoh, and Moses insists that they have the freedom that had been promised to them by God. I still believe in John 8:32, folks, where the Bible says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I still believe John 8:36, where it says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And let me say, it is an unpopular thing when Christians say we have a freedom that's been given to us by Christ Jesus. That is not a freedom for us to live any way we want, but it is a freedom for us to live any way He wants. So may I say in the United States of America, I still believe in religious freedom. I still believe the government should have no say about what is preached in a pulpit. If it is in the Bible, it is to be preached by a man of God, and the government has no right to say to a man of God, you may not preach the Bible. I still believe if the Bible teaches sodomy is sin, that I'm going to preach that sodomy is sin. And when they say, you may not do that, I have to say, God told me to do that. I still believe that Islam is a very wicked religion, and I am very sorry. You say, you're not politically correct. You're looking at a preacher that doesn't want to be politically correct, but biblically correct. I believe in freedom. I believe in the freedom of America. You look back in history and you see the men that have given their lives in World War I and II and the Korean War and in the Vietnam War and others even now. They're giving their lives for freedom so you and I that are American citizens can have freedom. Well, hey, we're still one nation under God. I still believe America is to be a free country. And if we let them steal our liberty where we can't stand up and preach the word of God, you get ready. It'll be socialism into communism and we'll be taken over and we'll be a mess. I believe that, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That does not make you or I free to do whatever we want to do, but it makes us free to do what God wants us to do. I believe in freedom from denomination. If you're a guest here today, this is not a denominational church. This is called an independent church. We're an independent fundamental Baptist church. We are an independent church. No denomination has control over this church. No committee controls this church. No board controls this church. We do have a headquarters. You say, where's it at? It's due north. We have a headquarters. Do you get notes and instructions from your headquarters? Yes, we do. It's called the Old King James Bible. That's it, right there. No institution on the face of this earth has any control over this church. This church is it's an independent Baptist church. I believe in that freedom. I believe in the freedom that God has given you and I to learn His Word for ourselves. I recently spoke to a man that had been brought up in the Catholic religion. He told me this. He said, I was an altar boy. He said, I went to Mass on a regular basis. He said, I was doing it all. I'd taken all the cat classes. He said to me, he said, Brother Owens, I was taught as a little boy. I was taught by the priest that I was not to study the Bible, but he was to do the studying. I showed up at the meal table, and then he would feed me what I was to be fed. He said, when I got born again, I began to realize I was supposed to study the Bible for myself. You probably heard the story about the Catholic, a man was Catholic and he had gotten saved and his priest heard about it. His priest went by to visit him. And the priest said to the young man, he said, son, what do you got there? And he said, well, that's my Bible they gave me down there at the Baptist church. And the priest said, son, you got to understand something. That book is the milk of the Word of God. He said, you have to understand that I am the milk man. And you just show up and I'll give you the milk. And the young man was smart enough that he recently got saved. He said, preacher, don't you worry about me. He said, I done got me my own cow. Yeah. Let me tell you something. You, as a born-again Christian, you pick up that old black book. You have freedom in Christ Jesus. You can learn the Bible. You're supposed to learn the Bible. Don't you come in here and let me give up the only meal that you have all week long. Reason why some of you are so starved to death all week long is you're not studying your Bible. You got an old black book. You open that baby up and you start reading the Word of God for yourself. But I'll tell you something. You see, Moses said, let my people go. I say to any government in the world, a born-again Christian is to give answer to God. A born-again Christian is to give answer to God. And I'm not for a denomination controlling a church. I don't think that's how God intended it. Hey, and I'm not for a person controlling the people. The Word of God is to be preached by the preacher at church, and everybody else is to be reading it, believing it, and living it. You're to be teaching it in your home. You're to live with it. Hey, and that is your responsibility, but it's your freedom. Not only that, there's a man in the Bible by the name of Nathan. Could I tell you something? If you're upset now, okay, I gotta explain it to you. Oh, those in the balcony can't see me when I sit down like that. I'll go back here. I gotta explain it to you. Here's how the sermons work. When I'm preaching like this, I start slow. You all know what crescendo is in music? You start low and you're going somewhere. So you say, I about walked out. I'd go now then. Nathan was an unloved preacher. Nathan would not have received an honorary doctorate degree from the Bible college of his day. Nathan was a man in the day of David when David had committed murder and committed adultery. Nathan walked down, found David, and said, buddy, you're in trouble. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 7, and Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and he's about to lose what he was given. David had committed murder and adultery in the case of Bathsheba and Uriah. And get this, Nathan said to David, you did it. You murdered a man. Just because you're king doesn't mean you can get away with that. You committed adultery with that man's wife. And just because you're king, you can't get away with that. I can say something about the beach and you're ready to beat me. David called a liberal by name. He would have called your Rick Warrens, your Joel Olsteins, and your Joyce Myers of the day. He would have stood up and say, those aren't true prophets. Nathan would have called them out. Nathan would have called them out. Preachers who pinpoint problems are not well-loved. Nathan looked right at the king and said, you're the man. Then if you'd like to, you could read 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1 through 14 and find out what he said to him. See, denominational dictators did not scare Nathan. The machine of popularity did not cause Nathan to cower. Nathan, there was no yellow streak down his back. Look, everything that calls itself religious, folks, is not religious. everything out there that, hey, there is so much trash on television today, it is pathetic. Nathan pinpoints sin without apology. Nathan's loyalty was to the Word of God and not to any institution on the face of the earth. Nathan told the king, he said, you're a murderer and you're an adulterer. And what do you think the liberal press did to Nathan? Wonder if Nathan would have been alive in the day when a president commits adultery. And Nathan walked up to that president and said, you committed adultery, you're a murderer. Can you imagine what the press would have done? Congress would have been passing bills so quick about silencing the right wing. Yes, sir. Hey, there's another. Unloved Elijah. Elijah preached judgment. He preached the dark side of truth. Elijah preached that there would be no rain nor even dew for 3 years. It says in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these 3 years, but according to my word. What had happened is the people were away from God and lost the blessing of God, and Elijah comes along and says, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to go through a time of famine. You're going to do without water for 3 years. Can I tell you all something? America has turned her back on God. Do we expect God to bless America when America is legalizing marriage between two men? We abort children by the millions, and we want God to bless us? Don't you be shocked if God's not upset with America. Judgment, he said, no rain. What is that? It is the absence of blessing. It takes rain for things to grow. It takes rain for things to prosper. But people don't want to hear about that. You start saying something like that, you have people mad at you. I will guarantee you someone will take some excerpt out of this sermon, try to turn me into a nut. Spread it around. You will. Somebody here will. There's somebody here. You're a visitor. You'll walk away from here and you'll say, I heard that preacher say this. You'll give him one sentence that I said. That's it. People don't want to hear about hell. But just so you know, there is a literal hell. If you don't get saved, you'll die and go there, and there are people there burning right now. Most preachers don't preach that anymore. Why? That's judgment. That's unpopular. People don't want to hear about AIDS. I don't believe everybody that has AIDS has been immoral. I think there are some that get AIDS from blood transfusions. Operations, I think that can happen. But I can also tell you this. I believe AIDS is a sexually transmitted disease, and if you were pure and decent and you are having sex with people you aren't married to, you would not be getting it. People don't like that. Elijah reminded people that our God was a consuming fire. Hebrews 12:29 says, for our God is a consuming fire, something Elijah said. God, did you know that God is not lovey-dovey about everything? Elijah was unpopular because he preached judgment. Elijah was unliked because he preached punishment for sin. Did you know that you will reap what you have sown? You may cut the reaping process down a bit by your obedience and confession, but you will still reap what you have sown. Wicked King Ahab referred to Elijah in these words, he that troubleth Israel. Listen to this. The king of the day said, Elijah, you trouble us. You trouble us. Let me tell you, listen to what Elijah says back. Listen to these verses. 1 Kings 18, verse 17 and 18, it says, it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not, and this is what, listen to what Elijah says back to the king. I have not troubled Israel, but you. I like this guy. He obviously does not have his tail between his legs. He says, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. You know what? If we're not careful, the people that tell the truth and preach the truth, everybody's going to say, right there's your rebel rouser. Right there's your troublemaker. And us troublemakers better stand up and say, no, buddy, it's you. You're the one that has forsaken God. You're the one that took the Bible out of the public school. You're the one that legalized abortion. You're the one that causes all the filth and the liquor and everything to flow. And I'm telling you, you're the one. Elijah stood up to Jezebel. You say, what happened? She got eaten by dogs. Elijah slew 450 false prophets of Baal. Now, folks, if you found out that I went out and took on 450 false prophets and all I did was give each one of them a bloody nose, you'd be ready to fire me. Elijah killed them. You say, are you condoning that? Whatever God wanted done back then, that's fine. That's up to God to decide. But I am telling you this, if every once in a while we give a liberal a black eye around here and you get all in a tizzy and get your feathers all fluffed up, you better stop and realize something. You wouldn't have hired Elijah. You wouldn't have hired Moses. You wouldn't have hired Enoch. You wouldn't have hired Nathan. You would have found you some little sissy boy preacher with his tail between his legs who wouldn't stand up and call sin sin and tell people to repent. That's the kind of preacher you want. You got the wrong man. So what my forefathers were. See, I can't be everything that everybody wants me to be. You know, Elijah's picture was not highlighted positively on the front page of Christianity Today.
Yeah.
People looked at him and said, he is brazen. There's a man by the name of Micaiah maybe, an unloved preacher. He was considered uncouth. God forbid. Oh, I forgot to put my jacket on. I want to be appropriate. I didn't bring my camel hair jacket so I could dress like John the Baptist. Micaiah. They said, he's too rough around the edges. He's unpolished. He's an old-fashioned, unfinished country preacher. Let me tell you all something. If our church gets too uppity, you say, well, we're a big church. We've become a powerful church in the community. But you're going to have to calm it down a little bit if you want business people and the socialites of town to come here. You'll have to get you another preacher then because you hired an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental country boy preacher that knows nothing other than running around, shouting, screaming, and spitting while he preaches. Why are you not just dance with the one that brung you? See, Micaiah's problem was, his downfall was, he didn't care about being popular. He was put in jail for preaching the truth. He was a ball of fire. He was not interested in being politically correct, but he was interested in being biblically correct. He preached against the false prophets. Listen to what he says in 2 Chronicles 18, verse 22. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil against them. Now evil means someone's about to be destroyed. Then Zedekiah the son of Chenah came near and smote Micaiah on the cheek. Somebody hit him in the mouth. Now I would always be careful. Because the Bible says, touch not mine anointed, nor do my prophets any harm. You say, you saying that for yourself after a sermon like this? Yes, I am. Say, who's going to protect you? I got a couple men here that'll protect me. If not, you don't want to mess with some of my women. What you hear about women from West Virginia is true. I was thinking about the joke that you gave me this morning about the FBI. They were looking for someone to be an assassin for the FBI. They interviewed two men and a woman. The guy said to the first man, he said, sir, I want you to be an assassin. We got to figure out if you're tough enough. Sent the man into a room, gave him a gun, said, your wife sat in there. You got to go kill her. The guy came out and said, I can't do it. I can't kill my wife. They said, you're not the right guy for the job then. You couldn't assassinate somebody. So the second guy in said, sir, I'm giving you a gun. You got to go in there and kill your wife. She's sitting in that room. The guy came out crying and said, I can't do it. I can't kill my wife. Third assassin, FBI agent, was a woman. The guy gave her a gun, said, you go in that room, kill your husband. She went in there, shut the door. You heard the gunshots go off. Chairs thrown everywhere, grunting, groaning, screaming. She came out, slammed the door. She said, did you know that that gun was full of blanks? I had to beat him with a chair till he died. Let me tell you something, folks. You better understand something. Everything out there that calls itself a preacher and claims the anointing of God and calls itself a ministry of God is not. That's all there is to it. Hey, if the Catholic Church has told you that the sacraments will save you, they're liars. If they tell you that you can take Holy Communion and it becomes the blood and the body of Jesus Christ, it does not. You have to understand something. The Pope's a joke. When's the last time you heard anybody say that? He's a joke. He can't resolve your sins. He can't forgive your sins. Only Jesus can save you. Charismatic movement in the belief that some gibber-jabberish is an unknown tongue. They were known tongues. You just read the book of Acts, what took place there. And those languages were used to spread the gospel. So I don't like that. Micah was tough. He wasn't a weenie. Mackay was not a modern pretty boy preacher. He would not have been invited to the 700 Club. Mackay was a fighting fundamentalist. Billy Sunday was preaching, if you've never heard of him, an evangelist that turned this nation upside down fighting the liquor traffic. Was a baseball player that was a drunk and he stumbled into a gospel rescue mission and got born again and turned into a fireball preacher that backed off and shut up for nobody. They were interviewing him and they said, Billy, the way you preach your straightforwardness and the way you preach and yell and scream and get around, said, you got to understand, you're rubbing the cat the wrong way. He said, then you just turn the cat around because I ain't changing. Accept it, folks. Your pastor is not a smooth-talking, crowd-pleasing speech giver. Jeremiah was put in prison for what he preached. Jeremiah 1:7, he said, I'll speak what God wants me to speak. It says of Jeremiah, he said, I won't speak in the Lord's name anymore. The pressure's come upon me. He said, but I couldn't. It was as a burning fire caught up inside me. Jeremiah was a man of God that took a stand for God. Jeremiah was not just for being a church that believed the gospel. He believed a church ought to be spreading the gospel and be a soul-winning church. He was not just for having a baptistry, he was for using it. You would not believe churches all around this country that say that they're gospel preaching, that never use that baptistry. I've had people that have left our church and gone to other churches around and said, Brother Owens, we went 3 months before we used the baptistry in the church that I visited. What's so hard about it? Church was not just a social event to Jeremiah. He was hot for God, not lukewarm. He believed we were created for God's service, not that God was created to serve us. God's word burned within him. He was fired up for God. Anytime a preacher preaches like I am right now, lazy Christians don't like it. Casual Christians don't like it. Lazy pastors hated. You see, you didn't call the names of other lazy so-called fundamentalists. Don't have to. They'll label themselves. Lazy churches don't like it. Lazy Christians don't like it. Lazy preachers don't like it. So you become unpopular. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Now let me say something. There may be some little difference in me and some others that would preach a sermon like this. I'm not trying to get you to dislike me. Some would say, well, if I can make them dislike me, I've obeyed that scripture. Oh, no, that's not what that means. That scripture means you sincerely believe what you preach, and you're not doing it to hurt people. You're doing it to stand for what is right, and you love people while you do it. Some think, if I mean it, I make everybody mad, I'm right with God. That is not true. You being mean and making everybody hate you. I know some, if they can make it, see, they can't figure out how to build their church through the love of God and through soul winning, so they try to make everybody as mad as they can, so they run them all away and they walk away saying, in these days and age, people just hate righteousness. No, you may be an idiot and a jerk. I will get a letter from some preacher somewhere for that one right there. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you ought to get born again. I have not preached a salvation message today, but it is a message that could save a church or save a country. I'll remind you, folks, to preachers of the Bible that you and I look at and we say, oh, be like John the Beloved. Then we've got to do something worthy of being boiled in oil, ran out of our country, and exiled to an island. We'll be like Daniel. We're going to have to go to the lion's den for something. We'll be like Joseph, whose coat of many colors. You have to be exiled, thrown in a pit, locked up, sold as a slave, ran out of the country, hated by your family. You see, somehow we get this idea that our heroes were loved 24/7. I got to looking at it and I thought, wow. They were despised and rejected. They were unpopular. I call the sermon Unloved Preachers. Unloved preachers. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed.